Hey, this is Chris with a content warning for this episode. Owing to the nature of the monster in it, the boogeyman, we will be discussing child endangerment, child molestation, and violence toward animals. If those are sensitive topics for you, you may want to skip this series of episodes. Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 230 of Beyond the Supernatural. I've cracked into the Krabbies now. Once again, for my last hurrah this season, my last recording session, I'm able to do just a little bit of drinking, a rarity for me. Krabbies is, of course, alcoholic ginger ale, the kind of thing you drink when you've got 28 more goddamn podcast episodes to record. Not a situation where you want to go straight to shots. But, you know, a little drinking is good. Just a little comfort to help me with today's topic, a monster called the Bogeyman. Now, we have discussed the Bogeyman before. I'd like you to cast your memory back, or if your memory is for shit like mine is, cast your podcatcher back to page 64. It was the first page of the Ordinary Person PCC. It opened with a little bit of fiction, a little exchange between our old friend Thomas Sheridan and an unnamed ordinary person identified only as a handsome computer teacher from McKenzie High School. And this computer teacher had a story. You see, his daughter Tina was abducted from a school playground by some kind of boogeyman. And he got her back with the help of some paranormal investigators. And that's when he decided he had to dedicate his life to helping this band of roving, monster-hunting misanthropes, so that no one else would be victimized by monsters the way that he and his little Tina were. You'll recall, perhaps, from that episode, that we poked some holes in a handsome computer teacher's story. We did a little discussion about the boogeyman, who has a very specific MO. He hunts in places frequented by children at dawn and dusk. He eats rats in between eating children. He is a physical monster who has to walk up and snatch a kid he wants to snatch, and he avoids places charged with positive emotions of love and kindness and that sort of thing, much like the Banshee. Therefore, we were able to deduce that Mr. Hot for Teacher from McKenzie High left his 9-year-old fucking daughter in a school playground in the dark in a rat-infested part of town with no supervision, no surveillance system, and left her there long enough for a hulking hobo to physically walk up to her and then take off with her, which is in fact what the boogeyman is all about. We already knew that you pretty much had to be the worst possible parent for this dirty, duster-wearing motherfucker to make off with your kid. But what we learn about the boogeyman on this page makes the case against handsome computer teacher even stronger, because it turns out the boogeyman has not always been known as the boogeyman. Quote, ancient Native Americans knew this monster as, quote, the Raven's Tears, so named because any ravens within a 2-mile radius will sense when the boogeyman is on the prowl. By the way, the text spells it bogeyman, but I'm going to say boogeyman because I think boogeyman sounds stupid, and it's my podcast. Any ravens within a 2-mile radius will sense when the boogeyman is on the prowl and will gather en masse where he is about to strike to scream a warning to the heavens and anyone who recognizes their warning. Quote, where the raven's tears fall, so will a child. Now it goes on to say that in the modern era, most people don't understand this warning because people don't know what the fuck it means when a bunch of ravens all land and start cawing. Not like in the good old pre-Columbian days, where if you heard the cacophonous cawing of 2 miles worth of ravens concentrated in one location, you'd think, oh shit, I did leave my baby in a dismal location as night approaches. I guess I better go pick her up before the fucking raven's tears get her. And you would do it and you'd be fine. Everybody knew what it meant. Nowadays, all these ravens show up and people don't understand the supernatural import, which I appreciate. I'm not blaming this handsome computer teacher for not understanding the supernatural significance of ravens cawing. But here's the thing. You don't need to understand the deep meaning. You don't need to dig into the occult lore of what it means when ravens start making a racket. Because even a layman knows you shouldn't leave your kid in an unnatural fucking mosh pit of ravens. What the fuck are you thinking? As it happens, these turn out to be friendly, anti-pedophile ravens, just doing their job in nature's plan, protecting kids. But for all I know, they could just be a bunch of pissed off ravens. They could be there to rumble with a rival raven gang. The why doesn't matter. I'm not going to leave my child surrounded by angry ravens. But I guess when you're a jet-setting hunk from the computer science department at McKenzie High, you're too busy to worry about things like that. You just leave your little girl alone among the pissed off fucking birds. Not only ravens, by the way, but crows too, because ravens are really big, but there might not be that many within a 2 mile radius. But crows? Crows are fucking everywhere. This is going to be a huge crowd of birds, 2 miles around every crow and raven. Most places in the US, that's a huge fucking racket. And don't think, by the way, that it just happens like when this hobo snatches this girl, that now like you hear crows and you've got X number of minutes to go catch this motherfucker dragging this girl back into his lair. That's not what's up here. From the vulnerabilities section later, this is like a couple of pages from now, quote, attracts ravens and crows who caw and scream a warning of the bogeyman's presence before he attacks and when he is on the prowl. Let this motherfucker come out of his door, wiping the rat meat off his chin, looking for a child to abduct. Immediately, all the crows and ravens within 2 miles show up and start cawing their fucking heads off. And you left your child in this playground. In those conditions? Like, the collective noun for crows is not a daycare of crows. You dumbass. Is there not a McDonald's where you live? Can you not take this kid to the play place? I mean, McDonald's will kill you, but not immediately. The dumbest thing on this page is very simple, and I'm going to wrap it up here because, believe it or not, we're talking about the boogeyman for like 2 more days after this. Just the detail about ravens and crows showing up, squawking and flapping, so severely limits this monster that it puts the heat directly on the parent, who should absolutely see it coming. No parent should ever be surprised when their child ends up in the hands of the boogeyman. This is a monster who leaves a trail of parents thinking, you know, now that I think about it, my bad. In my defense, I didn't know that the boogeyman was real, but I have seen what a crow will do to a French fry. Maybe I shouldn't have left Tina there in that kind of environment. You're right. You shouldn't have. Hot computer teacher from McKenzie High. That is on you. I'm glad we could revisit this older case just to shit on this guy one more time. But we're not even close to done with the boogeyman. Join me next time when we get real deep into the boogeyman's MO and speculate on how this incompetent motherfucker manages to keep his sad sack ass fed on kid meat on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.